The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, our GP is with us, GP Dr. Eleanor Galvin. You're very welcome, Eleanor. Thanks for coming in. The first thing I want to talk to you about is the idea of free GP care, because there is an idea, and some people are great proponents of this, that GP care should be free for everybody in Ireland, as it is with the NHS. Do you agree with that?
As it is for all of Europe. Mm-hmm. So we're the only country that doesn't have free GP care for everybody. And we have about 2 million people have a medical card. So that's a good proportion of our country that do get a medical card or GP visit card. So they are for free and the rest are not. And our system is already creaking. So absolutely, it would be wonderful to have free GP care. But once we have, we don't break our system trying to do it. And there's also other parts of the healthcare system, like mental health services, who could well do with a little bit of investment. There's no point being able to see your GP for free and then waiting a year to see a psychiatrist.
So what happens when GP care is free? Do more people go to the doctor?
Yeah. And that was really shown very clearly with the... and now, that also shows that maybe people are putting off putting going to the GP. It's not that they're abusing it. It's that they maybe... financially constrained to not be able to do it. But there was a huge increase, 29% increase in people visiting out of hours when the under sixes medical card came in. Mm-hmm. And the same for across the board in GP clinics. And so then they were struggling to keep up. So if you replicated that for the entire population, you would probably find that you would have a very short visit, like in the NHS. The NHS is not something that we should be aiming to be like.
It's 8 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah, eight minutes. So we're 15 here. So eight, and you get an awful lot more of a thorough check over in 15 than you would in eight. And a time also to talk about other things. And then we have people who go abroad to have, say, hip operations. And that's not right. Transgender services in Loughlinstown, 4 year wait. Child and adolescent mental health services, huge waiting times. And they're all places where perhaps the more vulnerable would be minded. Better to put, maybe if we have spare money, that it would be put into a system that is really, really creaking already, that there's a bottleneck after you go through your GP that you don't...
So I see what you're saying. Yeah. So the priority you're saying maybe should not be...
The priority should be people's health. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you increase investment and if you have a steady flow of more GPs coming through the system...
We should do that first before we make it free.
If the system was resilient enough, we would be able to do it.
Yes, we would. But we would also want to not forget the other maybe less vote-getting things to do to our health services. Mm-hmm. There are drugs that aren't approved here that are approved other places because they're not cost-effective for serious things like Duchenne's muscular dystrophy. Suicide is a huge cause of death in Ireland. There's a whole load of other big drug and alcohol rehabilitation centre. You try and find one for somebody who has no private insurance. Very, very hard. So some of those things, maybe it's where investment should be going as well.
Okay.
While we're training extra GPs and while we're training extra people to staff and things like that, have a slow march up to free GP care, but not these large vote-getting things that happen.
I have a listener who tells us that her friend in London told me that in order to get a GP appointment, so free on the NHS, you could be waiting 3 weeks or more for an appointment. And then she defaults to her private GP and that costs £300.
Yeah. So we do look cheap compared to that. But I do recognise that at the edges of places where people are, say, families with a few kids and they don't have a medical card and they're just ordinary working people who have missed that cutoff for medical card or GP visit card, that it is a strain for them to come and pay. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's a lot of the population who have VHI or medical insurance who will give them back money. Quite most of their GP visits they will get back. So perhaps not to be prioritising just blanket giving of free care, but give free care to those at the fringes
who need it,
and those that are in other service, can't get a dietitian, a public dietitian, a public occupational therapist. Primary care psychology is part of primary care, but primary care psychology appointments are, it's fabulous service, but very hard to get. 18 months to wait.
I mean, a lot of families, you know, the child will get to eight or the children will get to eight and that's it. Your leg has to be hanging off before you're getting into the GP because it is between, you know, 60 and maybe 80 euro, you know. Let's come to some of the questions, which are not related to what we've just been... We won't be surprised about that. We have all sorts of questions coming in. Let's do this one on cold sores. This listener gets a lot of them. anytime they're run down, sometimes for no reason at all. I know you can take daily tablets, they say, for them. And I wondered if there's any issues with taking something like that long term. Do they do any damage? Or is there anything you can suggest to avoid the constant cold sores?
Cold sores are more likely to spring up in you. Well, first of all, you have to have had an infection, a herpes and simplex infection, and that's what leads you to have this every time you get run down or out in strong sunlight. So there are tablets that you can take, 5 tablets a day for 5 days, the minute you feel a tingle. And I think that's a better way to do it, to always have a prescription for that and maybe a repeat prescription in the chemist, so you always have a pack at home rather than having a tablet every day. Like a tablet every day isn't the aim. So if you were to, say, get your cold sore on time, you will, it won't break out. It won't be, you know, such an awkward thing. The minute you tingle, you take your tablet.
Does it say something about your general health, though, if you're getting it very often?
Yeah. So I think you should eat well, stay out of direct sunlight, don't get run down. They're all very easy things to try and do, but they're not as easy as it sounds. So to have a prescription in case, and then remember to eat your vegetables and
Mind yourself. Get enough sleep.
Yeah, get enough sleep.
Which is a problem for our next listener, who is 44-year-old working mother with 3 and 4-year-old boys. She's absolutely exhausted, but more than normal. So she slept yesterday from 5:30 in the evening until 7 o'clock this morning, which is highly unusual. Would you recommend a tonic? And she's wondering as well, because she feels as though she has some of the symptoms of perimenopause. So, yeah, all sorts of questions. Exhaustion, sleep.
Exhaustion, sleep. A 3 and a 4-year-old? That's hardcore.
That's why.
that's hardcore. Absolutely. She could be perimenopause. She could also have an underactive thyroid. She could also be anemic. And I would think a good thing to do would be to have her bloods done, see is there a reason she's so tired, take a multivitamin. Pregnacare, great multivitamin, really strong one for pregnant ladies. You don't have to be pregnant to take it. She's just had 2 kids. She may be depleted in something. Take a multivitamin. If she has somebody to mind her 3 and 4-year-old, absolutely. If you want to sleep from 5:30 in the evening till 7 in the morning and you need it, go to bed. Don't be falling over. But get her bloods done. If she's perimenopausal, which she probably is, get some treatment for it. And hopefully, like, sleep is the core of your well-being.
But you're definitely telling that person to go and have some tests.
That's not normal.
But also you don't want to be in that,
That tired.
And you don't want to be in that situation. No. It's really difficult to try and live your life with that going on. My wife and I are hoping to start trying for a baby soon. My wife is taking folic acid, but I'm wondering if there's anything I should be doing or taking in preparation. That's nice to hear.
That's really nice to hear. So men should not be drinking or smoking when they are hoping to fertilise an egg. And there are also men's vitamins you can get in chemists with zinc and things in them that help sperm swim. Once you are over a certain age, if you're trying for too long, it's no harm to go get your sperm tested. So if your wife is over 36, maybe after 6 months of testing, go get your sperm tested. If she is under 36, maybe after a year. But no harm to take a men's fertility supplement.
Okay, quick one here now about the itchy red hives that this person is getting along their chest when they get out of the shower. They think it's because of the hot water, because they eventually go down, but they want to know, could they be doing any damage, and should that person be using cooler water?
That kind of sounds like a heat rash, or a kind of a histamine release, which is kind of a heat rash, and an antihistamine will help you take it down. They're probably not doing themselves any harm, but they're probably not doing themselves any good either. If your water is so hot that you're coming out in hives,
turn down the temperature. Ireland, sometimes the only place you can get warm is in the shower, but don't be doing yourself harm. Eleanor, thank you so much for coming in and for taking all of those questions on health. That's GP Dr. Eleanor Galvin. Back after
the Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance,
weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.